this Australia Day we hear about in the first reading and the Gospel, those strange cities, which were Jewish. Naphtali, Zebulun. The light would come to them, and the light was the light of faith. We think here about the Olympic flame that goes from hand to hand. That's a symbol for us of the flame of faith. And the faith dispels the darkness of error, and brings the light of truth, Christ's truth. For that light to be passed on, it needs someone who is a messenger or missionary. For one person, it's passed to another. And that's what St. Paul is trying to remind the Catholics of Corinth. It doesn't really matter who passed it on. It's from where did this originate? It's from Christ. Christ chooses his missionaries or messengers to pass on the flame of faith to others. We think here of Paul passing it on to the Greeks, Patrick to the Irish, Augustine to the English, Boniface to the Germans, Cyril and Methodius to the Slavs. Down through the centuries there's always been a missionary or messenger to pass on the flame of faith to others. On this Australia Day, it's good to stop and ask ourselves, who have been the great missionaries or messengers in this vast continent? One person who wanted to be a messenger and was a missionary at heart, but not in fact, was Father Victor. 1676, he was a missionary in the Philippines. Philippines named after King Philip. He was a Spanish Dominican. And he knew about Australia, and he wrote to Rome, to the Vatican, seeking permission. He applied to become the missionary, to bring the flame of faith here. He wrote a long document, I've seen the original. He also drew up the first map of this continent, 30 centimetres by 40, hand-drawn. He didn't really understand the eastern coast at all, but he knew about the western coast. And he knew what the Dutch explorers had told him about the flora, the fauna, about how you could walk for 2 years across this continent and not come to the other side. He also knew about the vast number of natives who had not yet heard the word of God. And he so desired to bring the flame of faith here. And would have, if he could have. And if he had of, we would all be speaking Spanish. It would have been a vastly different continent. What happened? The snail mail went by ship. It took 5 years to arrive in Rome. His application, 5 years. Think about our internet service today. That's just tragic. 5 years by the time it got to Rome and then processed and then got back to him, he had died. He had died. It wasn't meant to be. Hence we date our history back to Captain Cook and the Commonwealth, the British Empire, seeking a penal colony. And when we think about what happened back then and how hundreds of people were brought to this country, then thousands, many of them suffered much, not just physically, but spiritually. In fact, the first 30 years of our history, Catholics were deprived of the sacraments, prayer, the consolation of the last rites. It was not just a reality, it was forbidden. No missionaries were allowed here. The English had established Anglican ministers or chaplains paid by the government, but no Catholic priest was allowed. Three arrived, however, in 1798, and they were three Irish priests. They were political prisoners sent here, and they had been falsely condemned. After some years of begging the government, can we please at least administer some of our sacraments to these Catholics, especially the dying, the government gave one permission to say Mass, and that was Father Dixon. The year 1803, he offered the first Mass in this continent. It was up around Sydney. The vestments were made from curtain material. I don't know whose curtains they were. A convict made a little tin chalice, and the holy sacrifice was offered, and then ceased. They were soon sent back to Ireland, having been emancipated and found to be innocent of the charges brought against them. But no one arrived, Rome knew about the plight of thousands now of convicts, Irish, Catholics sent here, but nothing could be done to help them. And eventually, in 1917, Father Jeremiah Flynn was given permission by Rome to come out here, but too much haste caused much waste. He came without receiving approval from the office in London, and thus when he arrived, Governor Macquarie refused to recognise him as a Catholic chaplain. He came out as a private passenger, and thus he couldn't function. They forbade him to minister to the Catholics. So he went underground and established a house chapel at Botany Bay. The Davis family gave him a room, and he used to say clandestine, secretive masses there, and he established a little tabernacle. But eventually, he baptised too many and sorted out too many souls, and they captured him, arrested him, and sent him back to Ireland. He begged permission to go back to the chapel at the Davis house to consume the Blessed Sacrament, but they forbade him that. So for 2 years, there was no priest again in this continent, but the chief shepherd, the Lord himself, was residing at the Davis house, which became known as the Holy House. And Catholics would gather there on Sunday, not for Mass, for there was no Mass, but to say the Rosary and have other devotions. That would endure for 2 years, until 1920, and two great missionaries were sent here. Meanwhile, the Catholics were suffering much. In the early years, the convicts were made to attend Anglican services on a Sunday morning. Yes, there was church, but it wasn't the Catholic version. And if you were a staunch Catholic and as a convict refused to go, you were given 50 lashes. And given is a nice way of saying you were whipped like a horse. If you refused to go again, you were whipped 100 times. And if you were so blatant to refuse the governor worship in the Anglican church, you were sent to Norfolk Island, the place of the damned, where no one ever returned. And so there was persecution of the faith at the beginning. Perhaps it was more of a persecution of the Irish versus the English, but nevertheless, if you were a Catholic, you suffered. When Father John Terry arrived in 1920 and his colleague Connolly down to Tasmania, things changed. By then, there were 10,000 Catholics in his parish, and the parish went from Sydney, or above Sydney, all the way down to Port Phillip Bay, and he did it all on horseback. He was very good as a horseman, and he knew how to find food in the scrub. He'd often, in going distances, hundreds and hundreds of kilometres, would just camp wherever he could to minister to Catholics, to baptise the babes, to marry Catholics, and to assist those who were dying. And he was a friend to one and all. He was a very strong personality. He had to be to survive. But eventually the government acknowledged him for who he was and assisted him. They even gave him an unwanted block of land, which he put the first St. Mary's Church on. Today, the cathedral occupies that space. And what a place it was. He travelled far and wide, loved and hated. He did great work for 44 years. He was a great missionary, a great messenger to pass on the flame of faith to all, Irish and English. Along with him came great other missionaries, Poulding and the Benedictines up in Sydney, and of course the Augustinians down in Melbourne. And when the Bendigo and Ballarat gold rushes took off, the towns went from just a few thousand to 80,000 overnight. And so more ministers, clergymen and missionaries were needed. And of course we can't help but think about the great female missionaries or messengers of God's gospel. One such person was Caroline Chisholm, married to Archibald. And she was a convert and filled with love for the faith. And she would help many young women, migrants in particular, to find work and suitable accommodation before they came and when they did arrive. Her work went on for decades, and she helped and assisted many future families that pioneered the outback. And of course, back in the 1860s came the great Mary of the Cross, Mary MacKillop and her school system. They're just a few of the great heroes and messengers that came and passed on the flame of faith in this continent. Ask ourselves, we're now in 2014. Fewer and fewer want to believe. Has the flame gone out? I think not. We just need to be heroic and pass it on and trust in God's grace, as did Benedict of old, or Boniface in Germany, or Terry in Australia, or Chisholm, or MacKillan. Great names, great heroes, great messengers. Please God, may our names be also lifted with theirs one day. Praise to Jesus Christ.